Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. Right now we're in Genesis chapter 24. And let's ask the Lord to bless you, 24, into your heart, your soul, into your spirit, and into the mind of your spirit. Lord, do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin reading.
Chapter 24, King James Version, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Commentary. Isaac marries Rebekah. Verse 1. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. King James Version, verse 2 and 3. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell.
Now, when people take oaths by saying, put your hand under my thigh, that is, means the very sincere oath of a person that thinks they're going to die. The thing is, though, that Abraham was a very old man, but he lived many years after this. And he also had other wives and children. Young wives and children. Then what?
Commentary, verse 2 and 3. One day Abraham said to the man in charge of his household, who was his oldest servant, quote, Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not let my son marry one of these local Canaanite women.
He didn't want him to marry a black, those Africans that the Lord had stated that he later would have them go in and kill them all because of their lewdness. Do not marry one of these black Canaanite girls. Okay, then what else? That's what it says, right?
Right.
Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 4. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac.
Yeah, to my people, because he's trying to purify the what they say, the theologians say, the bloodline. But the Bible says that we're all one blood. Amen?
Amen.
But it's not that, it was the actual corrupt way that those people were, and I see that many are today as well. There's corruptness, and they're all racist today. But they were exceedingly corrupt then. And I've seen, you know, because of the fact that I've been around many in the entertainment industry and around, there's a lot of corruptness in there. And so Abraham wanted Isaac to keep the bloodline or the genealogy because he knew that all the nations of the world were going to be blessed by this bloodline, by the Jews. Okay, then what else? So there's a difference between Jews and Gentiles. One, they served the Lord back then, and the others were pagans. Corrupt. So it has nothing to do with the real, the actual blood. It's the spirit, the evil spirits in them. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 4. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac. King James Version, verse 5. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Commentary, verse 5. The servant asked, quote, But suppose I can't find a young woman who will travel so far from home. May I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives? King James Version, verse 6. And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Commentary, verse 6. Quote, No! Exclamation mark. Abraham warned, Be careful never to take my son there. King James Version, verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Commentary, verse 7. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my offspring. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you will find a young woman there to be my son's wife. King James Version, verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. Commentary, verse 8. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath, but under no circumstances are you to take my son there. King James Version, verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Commentary, verse 9. So the servant took a solemn oath that he would follow Abraham's instructions. King James Version, verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Commentary, verse 10. He loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with gifts and set out, taking with him the best of everything his master owned. He traveled to Aram Naharaim and went to the village where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled. King James Version, verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water.
And in the Holy Land, men are thought to be homosexuals if they carry water. That, in the Holy Land and in all the Arabic countries, is the job of women. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 11. There the servant made the camels kneel down beside a well just outside the village. It was evening, and the women were coming out to draw water. King James Version, verse 12. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Commentary, verse 12. Quote, O Lord, God of my master, he prayed, give me success, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Help me to accomplish the purpose of my journey.
And what was the purpose of his journey? Huh? To get a wife for Isaac, amen?
Amen.
All right, that's it. I just wondered if you're still awake, all right? Then what?
King James Version, verse 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Commentary, verse 13. See, here I am standing beside this spring, and the young women of the village are coming out to draw water. King James Version, verse 14. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Commentary, verse 14. This is my request. I will ask one of them for a drink. If she says yes, certainly, and I will water your camels too, let her be the one you have appointed as Isaac's wife. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. King James Version, verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder.
Little 10 or 11-year-old Rebekah. And, you know, if you study the Bible, you know that Isaac was 40 years old at this time. Absolutely. You can study the Bible and see he's 40 years old. So he wasn't a kid. And he wasn't a kid either when Abraham was so old and he was told to offer him on the altar. Actually, that old, he could have outrun the old man very easily. And he's probably strong enough. He's a young, strapping man. He could have put Abraham on the altar and tied him up. You know? So, but that shows that Isaac was willing to do. He believed his father was of the Lord, and that he was willing, as willing as his father was, to please God. So he told him to come over here, son. You know, he saw the wood, he saw the fire, and he asked, where's the sacrifice? He says, come over here, son. He started tying his hands up. Then he laid him on the altar. First he laid some wood on the altar, and then laid him on the altar. And then, and of course, before that happened, the Lord was saying to him, I will show you the exact spot when you get there. Just get up there on the mountains, on Mount Moriah, or at the top of Mount Zion, and I'm going to show you the exact spot where that altar is to go. And so, when he was up there, he told the two men that were with him, he says, stay here with the donkey, because I can see the spot right from here. And that spot is the exact spot where Jesus died on the cross. Because God told Abraham when he raised the knife in the air, he said, Abraham, Abraham. He says, don't kill him. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, and Abraham knew, he says, God will provide a sacrifice. And he did provide a sacrifice on that very same spot in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, Mount, which is also called Mount Moriah. Exact spot. So that shows that God foretold exactly where the Messiah would die, where he would provide the sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
It was the exact same spot. And right after I mentioned this in the service, one of the sisters here got on the website to try to look it up. I guess she was trying to check me out. No, she saw it in that Noah's Ark article. And she kept reading it further, and she said she found that exact same thing. Only I don't think it elaborates it as much. So can you at this time read that?
Sure. Mount Moriah.
And the one that wrote this is the guy that found Noah's Ark. And somehow he studied, he was a very strong Christian, and his wife is too, and she wrote a real nice article. And I might put a little portion of her article, not pertaining to this at all, but to these end times, because they also found the spot on Mount Moriah where the earthquake opened up the land there, right below the cross, and the blood of Jesus trickled right down in the ark of the Testament was there, right? And the blood fell right on the mercy seat, because it was hidden in a cave right under God, right, exactly right where the cross was. Now that's really something too, isn't it? They took the blood to analyze it, and they said there's no possible way that the blood, the white what do they call it, the white blood, white blood cells would never be alive after that amount of time. But they put it under, come over here and tell them, so that there's no way that it could, but they put it in some kind of solution, and they said that the blood is still alive.
He says it was,
come here and say it.
They, when the guy took a blood sample from the blood that had leaked, you know, from the cross down this crack, it was like a 20-foot crack, and so he took a blood sample and he took it to the lab, and he told them that he wanted to check it, and they told him, look, you're wasting your money because, you know, dead blood can't, you know, you can't take these this test on it, it won't do anything. And he said, look, do it anyway. And they said, okay, it's your money, you know, we'll go ahead and do it, but it's a waste. So when they did it, he said they were like freaked because they said that they could see that the blood was still alive. You know, they were looking under this microscope and they could see the blood cells and everything moving around still. And they called everybody over to look at it because they said, my God, this is still alive. And that's when the guy said to them, he said, this is the blood of your Messiah, because he was in Israel. It was a lab in Israel.
So that's really something, isn't it? So, you know, you'd think that the Jews would start believing in Jesus. A lot of them are. Amen?
Amen.
That's amazing. Okay, but go ahead and read. And he discovered this too.
Mount Moriah, where Abraham had brought Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice, and this same Mount Moriah was where the Messiah died. The substitute sacrifice...
Not only on Mount Moriah, but on the exact spot where God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. That is the exact pinpointed spot. He pinpointed where the Messiah was going to die many, many years before. And that's exactly where he did die. And in fact, to prove it, the Ark of the Testament was right under that spot. And the blood of Jesus fell on the mercy seat, on the horns of the mercy seat. That is proof positive that the Word of God got fulfilled exactly in a very exceedingly supernatural way. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Mount Moriah was where the Messiah died, the substitute sacrifice for fallen mankind.
See, that's just generalizing, but to say that it's the exact pinpointed spot, because God pointed out the exact spot, and that's why there was a ram there caught in the brambles, in the bushes. If he would have went maybe 1,000 yards away, he might not have seen that ram. Amen?
Amen.
But it was right there. God will provide a sacrifice, and he did in his son, Christ Jesus, hundreds of years later, in that exact same spot. All right, then what?
Yeah. Jerusalem is situated on two hills, traditionally referred to...
Yeah, but those two hills are on top of the Mount Zion. Those two hills, they say one is Moriah, and the other one is, Zion? But... The Bible, he says that all of that is Zion. So I'll go with the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead and read it, though.
Jerusalem is situated on two hills traditionally referred to as, quote, Mount Moriah and Mount Zion. Moriah is the one on the right, while Zion is on the left, although the Bible refers to the entire city as Zion.
Well, not only the entire city, but the entire mountain that those two hills sit on. And right across the street from it is the Garden of Gethsemane. That's another mountain. The Mount of Olives. Amen?
Amen.
That's the Mount of Olives right across the street. That's where the Lord's going to set his foot down. And I believe it. And the mountain's going to split right in half. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, then what?
To the extreme right can be seen the beginning of the Mount of Olives.
Right, to the extreme right. I mean, you can see that it's a pretty tall mountain sitting right on top of Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the biggest and most spectacular mountain I've ever seen. And it's encompassed way down below. You can see other mountains all the way around it, surrounding it. Down below, hundreds and hundreds of feet below. And then there's this Mount of Olives on top of Mount Zion. Right in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem area, and Mount Moriah, Golgotha. Golgotha is exactly, which they call Moriah, where Abraham was told to sacrifice his son, and exactly where God said no. And Abraham says that God will provide the sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice his son. But God wouldn't let him. He says, I'll provide my son. Abraham loved that boy more than anything in the world. And just like I love my boys, more than anything in the world. And if somebody came to me and stated, "Will you sacrifice your son for me and then give me everything that he has? Will you give me his car, if he was old enough to have a car? Will you give me his coat and his sport jacket and his little treasures inside of his room and things like that?" But the Bible says, "He that spared not his son, will he not give you also everything?" Amen?
Amen.
He gives us everything on top of that if we keep his commandments. That's heartbreaking, isn't it? To give your son for the wicked, and then to give everything that he has, his little clothes and everything, all your needs. He meets all of our needs on top of that. And it wasn't just that Jesus died there, it was God was in Jesus. So it was God himself, the creator of everything on the face of this earth and in heaven, that allowed himself to go on the cross and let him pierce him with nails and in the side and place a crown of thorns on his head and beat him to a pulp so that you and I could be saved. And for people to not want to serve him after they know that, it's no wonder why they themselves send their souls to hell. Amen?
Amen.
And people want to be corrupt in this world today rather than be pure and clean as the Lord was himself, especially after he moves into your body, into your spirit, your soul, and causes you to, or gives you the power to be able to stand, to be able to keep holy and pure and clean. No wonder there's such horrible condemnation eternally for those that refuse. All right, is there more of that?
The Ark of the Covenant had been secreted into this cave in 586 B.C.
Cave right on Golgotha. Then what?
When the Babylonians had Jerusalem under siege, Jeremiah and his assistants wished to hide the furnishings of the tabernacle from the pagan invaders. But in reality, this was part of God's plan. If the Jews had accepted Christ as the Messiah, the Jews would have had possession of the Ark at the time of Christ and would have offered Jesus' blood as the final sacrifice and would have placed his blood on the Ark. But God knew they would not accept his Son, so he had his own plan designed to place the blood of his Son on the most holy, the Ark of the Covenant.
Right, but not all the Jews rejected Christ. As a matter of fact, the first believers were all Jews. Peter, Matthew, Mark, John, Paul, they were all Jews, and all the disciples. There were hundreds of them that got saved on the day of Pentecost. Okay, then what?
When Christ died, quote, "the rocks were rent," unquote, creating the crack in the bedrock leading down into the cave below. A Roman soldier speared Christ's left side, causing blood and water to flow through the crack into the cave below. The lid of the stone case containing the Ark of the Covenant was broken and moved aside, allowing Christ's blood to flow directly onto the mercy seat of the Ark. At this moment, type met antitype. The ceremonial system, which looked forward to Christ's sacrifice, came to an end. At that moment, the large, thick veil in the temple was torn by God, and the sacrificial Passover lamb escaped, as Jesus was the final sacrifice.
Yeah, there's no other name given by where mankind must be saved but the name of Jesus, and there's no other sacrifice that can take your sins away, and no other person can by his spirit enter into you to make you strong enough to be able to keep the Lord's commandments and to walk in the spirit. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Okay, now let's continue on with Genesis.
Commentary, verse 15. As he was still praying, a young woman named Rebekah arrived with a water jug on her shoulder. Her father was Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor, and his wife Milcah. King James Version, verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. Commentary, verse 16. Now Rebekah was very beautiful, and she was a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again. King James Version, verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. Commentary, verse 17. Running over to her, the servant asked, quote, Please give me a drink. King James Version, verse 18. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Commentary, verse 18. Quote, Certainly, sir, she said, and she quickly lowered the jug for him to drink. King James Version, verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. Commentary, verse 19. When he had finished, she said, quote, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough.
Yeah, that done drinking. They done drank. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 20. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Commentary, verse 20. So she quickly emptied the jug into the watering trough, and ran down to the well again. She kept carrying water to the camels until they had finished drinking. King James Version, verse 21. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Commentary, verse 21. The servant watched her in silence, wondering whether or not she was the one the Lord intended him to meet. King James Version, verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Commentary, verse 22. Then at last, when the camels had finished drinking, he gave her a gold ring for her ears and 2 large gold bracelets for her wrists.
Yeah, gold earring. When I study, you know, the theological books, it talks about a nose ring. Yeah. It says it was a custom for the women in that day. It was part of their everyday jewelry to use nose rings. But it's, I asked the Lord about it, and he said, no, it's earrings, okay? I just couldn't receive that. I knew they didn't have hippies back then. Okay, then what?
Then at last, when the camels had finished drinking, he gave her golden earrings and 2 large gold bracelets for her wrists.
Large ones. Then what?
King James Version, verse 23. And said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?
Yeah, after he gave her the earrings and the 2 gold bracelets, he knew for sure in a Jewish home there would be room. Amen?
Amen.
Large gold bracelets. Of course, Senor. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 23. Quote, Whose daughter are you? He asked. Would your father have any room to put us up for the night? King James Version, verse 24. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Commentary, verse 24. Quote, My father is Bethuel, she replied. My grandparents are Nahor and Milcah. King James Version, verse 25. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. Commentary, verse 25. Yes, we have plenty of straw and food for the camels.
What is the straw for? That's for this, to bed down the camels. They have to lay down on the straw. Amen? Just like chickens, you have to have straw for them to lay the eggs in. Okay? And also horses, you want to put straw down for them. All right? Animals, they need straw. Okay, then what else?
And we have a room for our guests.
You clean the straw up every so often. I know I lived on a farm for quite a while. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Commentary, verse 26. The man fell down to the ground and worshipped the Lord. King James Version, verse 27. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Commentary, verse 27, quote, Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, he said. The Lord has been so kind and faithful to Abraham, for he has led me straight to my master's relatives.
Straight to the house of my master's relatives, because I was in the way with him. In other words, I can continuously pray to the Lord. And what else?
King James Version, verse 28. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Commentary, verse 28. The young woman ran home to tell her family about all that had happened. King James Version, verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well.
Let me read the next verse, too.
And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well.
Right.
Commentary, verse 29 and 30. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban. When he saw the earring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, and when he heard her story, he rushed out to the spring where the man was still standing beside his camels. Laban said to him, Come and stay with us, you who are blessed by the Lord.
Yes, because it's a sign that you're of the Lord if you've got money to the people in the Holy Land. If you got money, you're blessed of the Lord. And that's the way it really is, you know, if you have substance. In some cases. But God knows also that if he blessed people with money, certain people, they would fall away because they're not able to be abound and to be abased. They can't handle both of them. Especially when they've got money, they fall away. All right, then what?
Commentary in verse 31. Why do you stand here outside the village when we have a room all ready for you, and a place prepared for the camels! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, somebody that throws around gold like that. You know, we got plenty of room for you. Right?
Right.
That Laban is a pretty good old boy. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 31 and 32. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him.
Right, there are two others with him. Then what else?
Commentary, verse 32. So the man went home with Laban, and Laban unloaded the camels, gave him straw to bed them down.
That's a good thing, too, if you ever have camels. You might need to know that. You just don't keep the pack on them while they're sleeping. Same thing with horses or donkeys. You have to unload them, okay? That's being kind to animals, amen?
Amen.
Unless you would like to be loaded down with a gunny sack and a backpack and stuff like that and go to sleep with that on, okay? That's right. Then what?
So the man went home with Laban, and Laban unloaded the camels, gave him straw to bed them down, fed them, and provided water for the camel drivers to wash their feet. King James Version, verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. Commentary, verse 33. Then supper was served. But Abraham's servant said, quote, I don't want to eat until I have told you why I have come. Quote, All right, Laban said, tell us your mission. King James Version, verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Commentary, verse 34. Quote, I am Abraham's servant, he explained. King James Version, verse 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Commentary, verse 35. Quote, And the Lord has blessed my master richly. He has become a great man. The Lord has given him flocks of sheep and herds of cattle, a fortune in silver and gold, and many servants and camels and donkeys.
Servants, that's men and women. That's wives, you know. Just condense it. What else?
King James Version, verse 36. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. Commentary, verse 36. When Sarah, my master's wife, was very old, she gave birth to my master's son, and my master has given him everything he owns. King James Version, verse 37. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell.
Yeah, I don't want him to marry one of these Africans, these sinful Africans, because God eventually is going to kill him. He's going to tell the Jews to go in and kill him. Then what?
Commentary, verse 37. And my master made me swear that I would not let Isaac marry one of the local Canaanite women. King James Version, verse 38. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. Commentary, verse 38. Instead, I was to come to his relatives, here in this far-off land, to his father's home.
Okay, now, there it goes. God is prejudiced. Amen?
Amen.
Not against the color of skin, because he wouldn't have had anything against those people because of their skin color. It was the things, the evil things they were doing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so nobody ought to be prejudiced because of somebody's skin or the way they comb their hair or the color of their eyes or whatever. You're even supposed to love albinos. Amen?
Amen.
With pink eyes, white eyelashes, and white hair. Those albinos, okay? All right, then what?
Commentary on verse 38. I was told to bring back a young woman from here to marry his son. King James Version, verse 39. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me...
And verse what?
And verse 40. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house.
Okay, next verse.
Verse 41. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath.
Okay.
Commentary, verse 39 through 41. Quote, But suppose I can't find a young woman willing to come back with me, I asked him. Quote, You will, he told me, for the Lord in whose presence I have walked will send his angel with you and will make your mission successful. Yes, you must get a wife for my son from among my relatives, from my father's family. But if you go to my relatives and they refuse to let her come, you will be free from your oath. King James Version, verse 42. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head, and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way, to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Commentary, verse 42 through 48. So this afternoon, when I came to the spring, I prayed this prayer, quote, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if you are planning to make my mission a success, please guide me in a special way. Here I am, standing beside this spring. I will say to some young woman who comes to draw water, Please give me a drink of water! And she will reply, Certainly! And I'll water your camels too! Lord, let her be the one you have selected to be the wife of my master's son. Before I had finished praying these words, I saw Rebekah coming along with her water jug on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and filled the jug. So I said to her, quote, Please give me a drink. She quickly lowered the jug from her shoulder so I could drink, and she said, quote, Certainly, sir, and I will water your camels too! And she did. When I asked her whose daughter she was, she told me, quote, My father is Bethuel, the son of Nahor, and his wife Milcah. So I gave her the ring and the bracelets. Then I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, because he had led me along the right path to find a wife from the family of my master's relatives. King James Version, verse 49. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may return to the right hand or to the left. Commentary, verse 49. So tell me, will you or won't you show true kindness to my master? When you tell me, then I'll know what my next step should be, whether to move this way or that. King James Version, verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Commentary, verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, quote, The Lord has obviously brought you here, so what can we say? King James Version, verse 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. Commentary, verse 51. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go. Yes, let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. King James Version, verse 52. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Commentary, verse 52. At this reply, Abraham's servant bowed to the ground and worshipped the Lord. King James Version, verse 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Commentary, verse 53. Then he brought out silver and gold jewelry and lovely clothing for Rebekah. He also gave valuable presents to her mother and brother. King James Version, verse 54. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. Commentary, verse 54. Then they had supper, and the servant and the men with him stayed there overnight. But early the next morning he said, quote, Send me back to my master. King James Version, verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. Commentary, verse 55. Quote, But we want Rebekah to stay at least 10 days, her brother and mother said. Quote, Then she can go. King James Version, verse 56. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Commentary, verse 56. But he said, quote, Don't hinder my return. The Lord has made my mission successful, and I want to report back to my master.
Right, he wanted to give the testimony of the incredible things that the Lord did there, and that he wanted to bring back that wife. Right, for his son, you know. It's a glorious thing. Amen?
Amen.
Millions, hundreds of millions of people are on earth today that are from her. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 57. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Commentary, verse 57. Quote, Well, they said, We'll call Rebekah and ask her what she thinks. King James Version, verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Commentary, verse 58. So they called Rebekah, quote, Are you willing to go with this man? They asked her. And she replied, Yes, I will go. King James Version, verse 59. And they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Commentary, verse 59. So they said goodbye to Rebekah, and sent her away with Abraham's servant, and his men. The woman who had been Rebekah's childhood nurse went along with her. King James Version, verse 60. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them.
She has. Her offspring is hundreds of millions of people. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Go ahead now.
Commentary, verse 60. They blessed her with this blessing as she parted, quote, Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions! Exclamation mark. May your descendants overcome all their enemies. King James Version, verse 61. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Commentary, verse 61. Then Rebekah and her servants mounted the camels and left with Abraham's servant. King James Version, verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehiroi, for he dwelt in the south country. Commentary, verse 62. Meanwhile, Isaac, whose home was in the Negev, had returned from Beer Lehiroi. King James Version, verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Commentary, verse 63. One evening, while he was taking a walk out in the fields, meditating, he looked up and saw the camels coming. King James Version, verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Commentary, verse 64. When Rebekah looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted. King James Version, verse 65. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself.
Oh, wait a minute, I thought this servant said that he was Abraham's servant. But he also said that Abraham gave everything that he had to Isaac. So now he is Isaac's servant. Amen?
Amen.
He's now his master. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 65. Quote, Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us? She asked the servant. And he replied, quote, It is my master. So Rebekah covered her face with her veil. King James Version, verse 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Commentary, verse 66.
That would be supernatural. You know, all these things happen, so you know that this wife is definitely of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This is your real wife. All right, then what else?
Commentary, verse 66. Then the servant told Isaac the whole story. King James Version, verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Commentary, verse 67. And Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent, and she became his wife. He loved her very much, and she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother.
Okay, now that was the last verse in chapter 24. Now we'll do a small amount of commentary here.
KJV chapter 24, verses 2 through 3. Put your hand under my thigh. These words were part of an important oath used by a man who thinks he is dying, although Abraham still had many years ahead.
Right, in the next chapter it tells of him being married again and having all these different sons and daughters. Then what?
The thigh represents privacy and was associated with procreation. Perhaps the oldest servant was the Eliezer of chapter 15, verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's who it was. Amen.
Amen.
That would have went right past a lot of people, right?
Right.
Then what?
Chapter 24, verse 4. To my country, to Haran, Syria, Abraham's home country.
Right. Abraham was a Syrian who became a Jew. By faith, we're Jews. All right, then what?
The goal is to maintain the purity of the bloodline.
Right, and that's... But it's more than just the bloodline. It's to keep intact the genealogy of Christ, and then also to keep a line of people holy, so that there's justification for God allowing the Messiah to be born through that bloodline. You're not going to take a Canaanite and have Christ any more than you're going to take another African, Hagar, and have the promised son. Amen? It has to be through the Jew, the female Jew, Sarah. And Abraham. All right, then what?
Chapter 24, verse 27. As for me, being on the way is a literal translation, interpreted as the ecstatic servant's remark, which is, quote, "The Lord led me, straight to the house!" Exclamation mark.
Yeah, straight to the house of where Isaac's wife would be. Okay, then what else?
His initial response was a few moments of joyous worship. Chapter 24, verse 53. These were the wedding gifts, the dowry.
Right, the gold, silver, fine clothing, and also the other gifts. Then what else?
Chapter 24, verse 54. Abraham's servant was impatient to share the testimony of his miracle at home. Chapter 24, verse 62. Beer Lehairoi was a well in the southern part of the country, about 12 miles northwest of Kadesh. Genesis 16, verse 13 through 14. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Wherefore the well was called Beer Lehairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Chapter 24, verse 63. Isaac was not colorful like his father Abraham or his son Jacob.
He was no, Abraham was very colorful. And so was Jacob. A lot to say about those two. But Isaac kind of stayed around the house. Amen?
Amen.
Kind of a docile character. Never married until he was 40. Keep going.
He was quiet, thoughtful, 40 years old. She was 10 years old, or 11. But at 40, he was still unmarried. His life was primarily an interlude between two high points.
Between two real powerful people. His dad and his son. Amen?
Amen.
One of his sons. This is Tony Alamo. Tomorrow we'll be doing chapter 25, which is halfway through Genesis. Until then, God bless you real good.